Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
Best theme song, all of Faith Radio. There it is. This is the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill, who, as we mentioned last hour, is under the weather. And Rebecca, you were right that it was actually comes from a nautical background.
I hazarded a guess.
Yes.
And for once today, I was right.
So originally it was under the weather bow. Right.
Yes, which is where the bad weather comes from, or comes toward the ship.
Okay.
So they were saying that somebody is under the bad elements of being out at sea.
Sure.
And then that took on the meaning of just being sick, from being seasick to being any kind of sick.
It's nice that Bill English started coughing just as we were talking about.
That was a perfect
Bill.
Sound effect. Good
very,
timing.
Very,
thank you very much.
He should be in radio as well. Things get messy when chickens cross the road. You know, that's the this is one of those programs where we ask those big questions. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, actually, he fell off a truck and on the 605 freeway in California, and so it was a little messy. But things are fine now. So that's
not for the chicken.
Well, no, but there are always challenges. Cold temperatures, a problem around the nation. In fact, winter storm warnings as far south as northern Florida.
Wow. Today,
so, but we're going to warm up our conversation here in just a moment with Bill English and talk a bit about wisdom and planning. You know, it's the first part of the new year. Always a good time to be thinking planning ahead. We'll talk about that. What does Proverbs have to say about planning? And also, Adam Carrington joins us coming up today. He's going to give us some thoughts and maybe some predictions for 2018. Plus, we've got some great insight on Breakpoint today about the importance of books, the power of books to change lives, which I know, Rebecca, you and I are all in favor of.
I'm listening intently already in preparation.
Binge reading.
I can't
is what they're
wait.
Talking about. So, all right, if you want to.
They're not saying it's a bad thing, is
no,
it?
No. So we're going to talk binge reading coming up on Breakpoint here in about 25 minutes. But we'll get to Bill English in just a minute. Stay tuned. The Early Morning Late Show is underway. Eight past the hour. It's the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting for Bill Arnold. Regular Wednesday guest is Bill English from the Bible and Business. Always glad to have Bill in studio. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you. It's been a couple years since we've been on the air together,
so it's nice
to be on the air with you again.
And I think the statute of limitations is just about up, so I think we're
okay.
It's the new year. We'll start something new and see if we get banished for another two. But we're going to talk wisdom and planning today. They go together. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, maybe it's a life verse for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. I think we'd all love to see 2018 as a year when, you know, our paths can be straighter. And so we're going to talk about the importance of planning today. And, Bill, I know you put together a good article on the issue of Proverbs and planning. But I want to start with Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. I mean, is that really at the heart of this, that, you know, whatever we have been planning, whether it's business or personally, that it needs to start with the Lord?
It does need to start with the Lord. And as we submit our will to him and as we come into alignment with what he has for us in our lives, not just for what we do, but for what we love, to bring our affections into line with his affections, our plans will naturally flow into what he has for us. And so he, in a sense, will establish our plans, as Proverbs 16:3 says here.
Well, you know, there's a lot, and says Proverbs about having plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And I'm assuming that you see that all the time in business, where people don't get the advice they really need.
Yeah, we really do. It's stunning how many business owners run a business for 20 or 30 years without a group of trusted advisors. I'm just very, very surprised, and I don't know why I'm surprised at that. You know, after a while, you get accustomed to meeting a guy or a gal who's run a very successful $5 or $10 million business, and they don't have an accounting firm, they don't have a legal firm, they don't have a financial planner. You know, they don't have the type of trusted advisors that you would think one would have in order to succeed in business. They just kind of meandered their way through, and they've been very successful. And but when it comes now to selling their business, either transitioning it to their kids, their adult children, or selling it to a third party, suddenly those trusted advisors become very important because it's very difficult to sell your business without those folks in your life.
Circle back to that here as we go along in conversation today. But I'm thinking, as we think about plans, I mean, the fact is that, you know, these oftentimes are our plans, and our plans aren't necessarily rooted in God's wisdom. So how do we know that, you know, I mean, we've got ideas, we've got things that we want to do, but, you know, the Proverbs 16:9, right? The Lord establishes the steps, right? We can make our plans, but, I mean, God's going to be the one who decides.
Yeah, so this is where that part of the Christian business reference architecture that I promote and have developed out of Bible and Business talks about hearing the voice of God. So one of the skills, one of the foundational skills that a business owner needs is the ability to hear God's voice as he or she is making plans, as she or he is making decisions. And those plans need to be baked in the soil of godly advice from other folks. And they need to be baked in God's voice of understanding where God is leading us. That is a countercultural way of doing business than how most Americans or most MBA programs would tell you to do business. To get on your knees and to pray and ask God, what's next step? Should we start this product line? Should we acquire this other company? Should we expand here or spin off this segment there? To pray about those first is countercultural to how most people run businesses.
As opposed to just looking at their profit loss statements or those kinds of things and just thinking in terms of business strategy only.
Yeah, just saying, you know, what makes sense on paper, yeah, and running it by a few people and saying, yeah, why don't we go ahead and do this? Starting with prayer and hearing the voice of God and letting God lead you in business. And that becomes a tricky, our topic this morning isn't to differentiate between my ambition and godly ambition. You know, there's a fine line there. But when it comes to planning, Proverbs assumes two things always. Proverbs assumes the sovereignty of God, and it assumes the sage advice of other people around you. And so if you are not submitted to the sovereignty of God, and if you're not well connected to people who are wise people in a godly way, and wise in the area of the decision that you're trying to make, then you're probably not following the thrust of what Proverbs says about planning in business.
It does seem like Proverbs assumes that there are opportunities to do evil, or there are villains, or there are fools. That, you know, you spend some time talking about that as well. That we need to plan not to be doing things in a hurtful way to others.
Well, every righteous act can be perverted to evil. Right? And so planning in and of itself is neither righteous or evil. It's just an activity. It's how you use that activity. So the evil, believe it or not, do a lot of planning. I'll go back a few years here. I'm going to date myself a little bit. Do you remember the movie The Sting?
Mm-hmm.
Right? With Robert Redford?
Yeah.
A lot of planning to get ready for the big con,
sure,
at
right,
the end of the movie, right? And we could probably go through another dozen movies. Even The Princess Bride has a lot of planning in it, right? Not necessarily righteous planning,
yes,
but planning nevertheless,
yes, yes,
right? So planning can be used for evil. It can be used for righteousness. Let's not use it for evil. Let's use it to further God's kingdom.
And it's so easy to you know, maybe just slip into that, maybe even unwittingly, right? Where we're withholding good from those to whom it's due. That would be one of those things.
Yeah, it would be. You know, so if you have good and you see somebody who is in need, and you have immediately within your power and resources and authority the ability to meet that need, to him who knows to do good and does it not, it is to him it is sin. That's what James says, right? And so I think that's 4:17. So that sometimes doesn't require a lot of planning. It just requires the ability to hear the voice of God and to respond spontaneously to what God is leading you to do at that moment.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I think our conversation last hour with Greg Borgon was one of the things he mentioned about wisdom, that it's tied with obedience.
Right? It is.
We can't just absorb it all. I mean, we have to live it out.
Wisdom is not an intellectual exercise. It is the living out of God's word and God's righteousness in our lives.
Yeah. Bill English is with us from Bible and Business. He's written about Proverbs and planning, and that is a post that's available, BibleandBusiness.com.
BibleandBusiness.com.
Check that out, and we'll talk more with Bill in just a moment here on the Early Morning Late Show. Past the hour, the Early Morning Late Show underway, and this third day of the new year 2018. How are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? We'll talk about that here in the moment ahead. Bill English. Bill is founder of Bible and Business. Check it out, BibleandBusiness.com. He's a regular guest on the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold, the host normally in this spot, not feeling well today, and so I'm sitting in and glad that you're feeling well enough to come in, Bill.
So, and I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah, we're all three of us apparently are doing just fine.
Yeah, we are.
All right. We'll all be washing our hands vigorously after the show.
Where is that hand sanitizer?
Sure, we need some of that.
In here somewhere. She got it.
Are you a New Year's resolution person, Bill? Is that something that you do?
I normally don't, but this year I am. I have one resolution this year, and it's really a goal more than a resolution, but I'm going to try to finish my book.
Okay.
I was having lunch with
Dale. Is this one that is just too many pages to read, or that you've... this is not reading a book.
No.
You're, okay, all right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sorry.
So I've written 15 technical books in the Microsoft space, but this one is going to be about the core thrust of what I talk about at the Bible and Business, about the integration of business ownership with our Christian faith. I was having lunch with Dale Hutchcraft, as you know, who is professor here at University of Northwestern. And I was talking to him about doing some things, and he just stopped me and said, Bill, you need to focus this year, 2018, on just getting your book done. Okay. So what does that take? We talk about planning and Proverbs, right, and New Year's resolutions. The New Year's resolution, you always envision the end goal in mind. And you think, oh, I'd like that. I'd like to be 30 pounds lighter. Sure. I'd like to have my book done. I'd like to, wash my car, whatever it is, right? But then you never go through the process to actually create the plan to get you there. And so when it comes to New Year's resolutions, the hard part of the resolution isn't coming up with the resolution. It's coming up with the plan and then executing the plan that's going to achieve that resolution. So I started New Year's Day. I sent out an email to six people asking them to be technical reviewers of my book, and I'm looking for a copy editor. And don't you copy editors out there, don't worry about it. I'll find you. And and so we started the plan, and I've got my first two of the 23 chapters written.
So is it a matter of, as you talk about, just setting up that plan? I mean, just breaking it down into, what, bite-sized pieces? Is that the key?
It is, and the advantage I have here is that I have a lot of experience writing books. So to me, this is just another book project, right? But it is. You got to here's your outline. Here are each of the chapters. Here's how long I want each of the chapters to be. Here's my H1 and H2 headings. Okay, now I know what I'm going to write. Now I just got to go write and fill in the content.
Okay. So is accountability the key when it comes to New Year's resolutions?
There can be a lot of accountability. So if you're resolved to lose 30 pounds this year, okay, then you're going to need accountability and you're going to need support. And so you're going to need somebody who has permission to look at you and say, don't eat that cinnamon muffin, or don't eat that piece of pie, or, don't have cereal, have fruit, right? And then you're going to need support so that in my case, if I was trying to lose 30 pounds this year, I would be saying to my beautiful bride, Kathy, please do not buy Oreo cookies and please do not buy cherry pies. Or now she can buy pumpkin pies all day long. I don't care about that. But cherry and blueberry, I have a weakness.
So, individually, we need accountability and support. But how does that work in the area of business as well? I mean, is it the same situation where we need people that will speak into our lives, hold us accountable, and support us?
It really is. I continue to be surprised at how many business owners have virtually no accountability for their actions or their decisions other than how it affects them financially. They just don't give anybody permission to speak into their lives. And it's not that they're nefarious about it. It's not that they're evil about it. It just doesn't occur to them. Well, why would I need somebody to speak truth into my life? You know, I have that at church. I have a small group at church. You know, I get that at church, right? Or I get that through my small group. But having somebody who can speak into your life about your activity and your stewardship responsibility as a business owner is, or business leader, is something that is really lacking today. And I keep going back to this thing. I remember when Peyton Manning, okay, Super Bowl winner, MVP at Indianapolis, he gets traded to Denver. What's the first thing he says to his new coach in Denver? Do you guys remember this story? He says, I want you to coach me. I want you to make me better, right? Here you have a multi-million dollar Super Bowl MVP saying to another man, speak into my life and make me better. How many business owners do that? How many business leaders do that? Very, very few. But those who do tend to be highly successful in their businesses.
So any ideas or strategies on how to develop that? I mean,
get an executive coach, join a CEO group. I'm starting a CEO group at Platinum. I wasn't going to bring this up today, but I'm starting a CEO group at Platinum. Join my group. We're going to be looking very heavily at who you are as a person and what your purposes are for being an owner or being a leader in business. It's going to be different than Vistage or CBMC or C12 and the others. Or if you don't want to join a group, get an executive coach. Let somebody speak into your life. Let your staff do a 360 review on you so that you can shore up your derailers or at least hire people around you who shore up those derailers.
Yeah. Now, one of the challenges of 2018, well, in any year, I guess, is, how long do we keep the business? How do we make it grow or transition it? Let's talk about transitions.
Yeah, transitioning the business. I continue to believe that another recession is coming. And of course, if you say that long enough, it'll be true because they always do happen. But I was speaking with some friends who know more about this than I do yesterday over lunch. And they were thinking that probably not 2018, but into 2019, we're probably going to see a dip in the economy. So for a business owner who's thinking about selling his or her business, kind of the word is you need to be looking at doing it now, or you need to be planning to stay in that business another 5 to 7 years before you try to sell it again. But trying to sell it in the 3 to 5 year time frame is probably going to mean you're selling it at the bottom of the market, and that's probably not when you want to be selling it.
Because the market was good last year, right?
It was phenomenal last year. We are not going to see the same returns this year. It's just not going to happen. We are going to have some bear markets this year.
So does that mean we move up the process if we're thinking about it?
Yeah. So let's say you're 62 and you wanted to work until you're 68 or 70. You may want to go ahead and decide to work till you're 63 or 4 and sell now as opposed to waiting until you're 68 or 70 and taking a chance on what the economy might be like. The longer we go without a recession, from our last one, we're already 9 years out. The longer we go, the conventional wisdom is the more difficult the recession is going to be.
Yeah. And so, to get the most value out of that. I mean, and again, I think it goes back to, as you said, we talked right at the outset. I mean, it starts with prayer, right? That we're not.
It does.
I mean, it's one thing to look at the balance sheets, but to seek God's direction too.
And really the question comes down to what is God calling you to do with the rest of your life and what resources is he calling you to pull out of the business so that you can live out his call for the rest of your life? That's how you should frame this. It's not how much money can I extract from the business and live as comfortably as I can. The question is, what is my call for the next 20 years? So let's say I'm 65 and I'm selling my business. What's my call until I'm 85, right? What's my call and what do I need out of the business to support that call? In the end, we all die. We don't take any of it with us. After we're dead, none of this matters, right? So what's my call and what do I need to support that? And that's what I need to pull out of my business.
Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. And let's seek God's purposes for our business. Bill, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Neil.
BibleandBusiness.com is the website. Check out Bill English. He's a regular guest on the Early Morning Late Show. And we've got Breakpoint coming up in just a minute. We hardly endorse that. Grab a good book, start reading. Say, you know, the most important book, of course, the book of books, God's Word, the Bible. We've got the Chuck Swindoll, new Swindoll Study Bible that we're giving away all this month here on Faith Radio. And you can sign up for your free copy, giving one away each week. Go to myfaithradio.com to enter to win. It's filled with, of course, trusted wisdom, practical application, refreshing insight. No surprise there, as Chuck Swindoll has written a lifetime of notes there. So check it out, the Swindoll Study Bible, and we're giving one away this week. So sign up today, myfaithradio.com. Coming up in a few minutes, Adam Carrington joins us, and we'll talk some thoughts and predictions about 2018. That's all ahead on the Early Morning Late Show. Coming up in a few minutes in the Early Morning Late Show, we'll welcome back Adam Carrington, Assistant Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College, to do some predictions, some thoughts about 2018. We don't know what we don't know sometimes. In fact, that goes against most people's nature to admit they don't know everything. But, John Dixon says, humility involves recognizing what you don't know.
I think it was C.S. Lewis said something like the first step toward humility is to realize that you're not humble. And I think that is a great first step, to realize our own selfishness, our own limitations, and so on. But it is very common, isn't it, for particularly high achievers to think that their high achievement gives them license to pontificate on all sorts of subjects, even outside their realm of expertise. So you'll sometimes find some great executive in a business who is perhaps brilliant at telecommunications, but because he or she is used to people listening to them all day long and doing whatever they say, they come home and still speak with the kind of air of authority and importance that they have at the office place. And obviously that is going to break down relationships. It is one way to avoid humility.
John Dixon is an author and speaker, has a lot to say about humility. In fact, wrote a wonderful book called Humilitas, and you can hear that full interview on the Faith Radio website. You go to myfaithradio.com and just type in humility or John Dixon, and you can listen to that entire conversation. Be encouraged. A great thought as we start out the new year. We're going to look at the new year ahead, get some predictions, some thoughts about legislation and congressional elections, all those things just ahead with Adam Carrington from Hillsdale College here on the Early Morning Late Show.
One of the most powerful influences on young people today is their need to belong, to fit in, and to be accepted by their peers. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Research shows that the need to belong is growing. But a sense of true belonging can't be bought. And if teens don't find a sense of belonging in their own family, they'll start looking for it in all the wrong places. I've worked with thousands of kids over the years, and most of them are acting out of some kind of loss or a need to belong that was unfulfilled. In your home, give unconditional love and encouragement, making sure your teen doesn't go elsewhere to find acceptance.
Navigating a child's teen years is one of the biggest challenges that parents will face, which is why Mark Gregston has developed a new free online parenting course called Tough Guys and Drama Queens. Get started now at freeparentingcourse.com.
It's 40 past the hour. The Early Morning Late Show is underway. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold. He's got the bug that's going around, or maybe he's starting his own. I don't know. Either way, I'm glad he's not here spreading it to us at the moment. And I hope that you're doing well today. Adam Carrington is back from Christmas vacation break, and we're excited to welcome him back to the Early Morning Late Show. He's assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Glad to talk with you today.
Hey, was your little daughter sufficiently fussed over with extended family over Christmas break?
I mean, she's only about 8 months old, but spoiled rotten already. She's the first granddaughter on my side of the family, and my mother couldn't be happier and couldn't be more spendthrift.
Okay,
so it was good.
Sure,
it was very good.
Well, speaking of spending, we're gonna talk a little bit about Congress and legislation, and get some of your thoughts on maybe predictions for 2018 and what you're seeing what we might see happen here. As the president and Congress get back to work.
Sure. And you were saying before the break about humility. I've certainly been wrong numerous times on predictions, so I will take it with a grain of salt. But, I think some things to keep an eye out for, and that's what I know often like to do at the beginning of years, is first, I would say that there's a pretty good chance that there's going to be no new major legislation, nothing on the level of the tax bill that was just passed. There's talk of revisiting health care, of a big infrastructure bill to build up highways again. I think the chances of that are fairly low. The way things are operating, I think people are going to gear up for election mode. I think for the two other predictions I'd make are just one for the courts. I think this is going to end up being a pretty important part session for the Supreme Court. On one hand, I think the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that I think has been discussed on this show is going to set a very important course for religious and free speech freedoms. We'll see which way. And the other is, the last one I think is the 2018 elections. And what I think would happen at this point, and again, ask me in November, I think that the Democrats are on pace right now to narrowly take the House of Representatives. But unlike many on the left, I don't think that they're going to take the U.S. Senate. So those are at least our three big ones, I would say, about the courts, about the elections, and about legislation.
Well, if there is no new major legislation, doesn't that that doesn't bode well, I would think, for Republicans in Congress, right? Because isn't their base say, well, we sent you there to do legislative work. So if you're not going to do anything, then we'll send you out, I'll send you back.
I think it will hurt not as badly as if the tax bill hadn't gotten through. They at least have one major piece of legislation to hang their hats on. So I think it's not as bad as it could have been there. But yes, I think that there still will be the accusation of it's the first time since the early 2000s that Republicans have controlled both chambers of Congress and the presidency. And there's going to be a big question. Have they done enough with that, or is that a reason for voters to be frustrated with them? So I think that's a legitimate question. I certainly think Democrats are going to run on not a do-nothing Congress, but a do-almost-nothing Congress. And I think we'll see what expectation the voters had for the party come fall, given that question.
And it certainly seemed like the Democratic base certainly be energized, right, to bring a campaign to turn back the tide, I guess, right? That's certainly going to be all that we read and see. I mean, it's pretty contentious already.
It's hard not to say, and this goes into my prediction about the Democrats taking the House. It's hard not to say that Democrats are much more energized. All the generic ballots that have gone out have said that, asking what party preference you would generically have shown Democrats with large leads. They have been much more excited in the elections that we've had this past year. Even ones where Republicans won, Democrats outvoted their typical normal share for those elections. You know, if it was a very Republican district, Democrats did much better than normal, even if they didn't win. That could change. I think the big X factor is, does the economy continue to improve, and do Republicans get the credit for it? But if things continue as they are, Democrats are much more excited to get out to vote than Republicans, and that doesn't bode well for the fall if that continues.
Well, we have some retirements to talk about, and we'll do that in a minute as we continue the conversation with Adam Carrington from Hillsdale College, assistant professor of politics, a regular guest on the Early Morning Late Show, and we'll talk more with Adam in just a moment. Stay tuned. 46 past the hour. Don't know if I'm hearing any birds singing outside. I think they're all kind of huddled from here to Florida. A little nippy around the edges. Is it a fresh morning in Hillsdale, Adam?
It is a brisk 8 degrees out.
All right.
So okay. we are huddled as tightly as we can at this point, as I'm sure you all are too.
Yeah, you know, it's a good chance for us to actually revel in all our layers, you know, that we don't normally get to wear. Well, we wear them all year long, but it looks a little silly in the summer. But anyway, we're talking about what's going on in 2018, what may be happening in terms of legislation. I'm thinking about Paul Harvey. He used to say, if pro is the opposite of con, then is progress the opposite of Congress? And I kind of wonder about that. A couple of retirees, some changes there. Orrin Hatch is retiring. Do you see Mitt Romney in the picture like many others do?
It's pretty hard not to see so. There was, of course, the rumor that Romney would run for the seat before Hatch had officially retired. And one of the, I think, dead giveaways that some other people noticed is that from morning to afternoon yesterday, Mitt Romney's Twitter location changed, where he says his Twitter account was located from, changed from Massachusetts to Utah. That's a pretty good sign that he is considering running, and probably will win if he runs. And I think that could be very interesting for the composition of the Senate and what the 2018 race looks like beyond the general things I was saying before. That particular race could be very interesting.
Al Franken stepping down, and Michelle Bachmann has been considering a run, perhaps.
Yes, that's the other. Those could be two of the highest profile races. I think, you know, Romney, I think, would win comfortably. His issue will be how well could he work with the Trump administration. But Bachmann would be interesting if she ran. And I know I'm talking, you know, to people that follow Minnesota politics even, you know, closer than I do. But I think she might be a test that Republicans have been running of, if a candidate who wasn't originally didn't come of age during the Trump administration, if he or she runs as a very Trump-like candidate, what would that do? I don't think Michelle Bachmann would have a high chance of winning if the coalitions in Minnesota were what they were 4 years ago or 8 years ago. But President Trump only lost Minnesota by 1.5 points. And, you know, Libertarian and other conservative-leaning candidates got well more than that as a side vote. So could she rebrand herself in Trumpian fashion? And if so, then I think she could be very effective. At the same time, and very competitive. At the same time, if you look at Alabama and Virginia, people who have tried to do so have had not as great a results as the president himself. So that's going to be another interesting test case if she decides to run.
Yeah. You know, the president campaigned all along about the wall. And, of course, there's the DACA showdown coming up. Do you see any movement on that, or is a shutdown likely? Because we've got another spending issue to deal with here in a couple weeks. Right?
Yeah, the spending issue, just a quick side I'll say on that, it's really tragic that Congress and the president for years, well before this current president, can't seem to pass a budget. All they do is pass continuing resolutions saying we'll keep spending what we did before. At the same time, I think today there is going to be a meeting between all the major participants in Congress and the president on this issue, and I will be interested to see what do they then say to the media afterward. Because on one hand, Democrats have the fact that DACA is very popular. It polls very well. Most people don't want mass deportations of Dreamers. On the other hand, Republicans, I think, could have a very effective positioning tool by saying that Democrats aren't willing to give them anything they're asking for, that they're not willing to even meet them partway with other fairly popular amendments to the immigration system to try to make it a little more secure and a little less open to illegal immigration. So I think it's going to be very interesting who wins that PR battle and whether Democrats are willing to go all the way to a shutdown if President Trump doesn't go along. I think that's going to be a very interesting. I think today, this afternoon, will show a lot when the leaders come out of the meeting that they're having later today.
Speaking of a PR battle, protests in Iran, I'd like to get your insight on that. Of course, protests sparked back in 2009, and it seems like those protesters kind of left out in the lurch and with the previous administration. What do you see happening with what's happening in Iran right now?
Yeah, and this just shows, I mean, there's so much going on now. The news just doesn't stop. With Iran, I think that what you're seeing is from 2009 and before that to now and in the future, the increasing weakening of the Islamic theocracy that basically exists there. Whether this will be the one that topples it, it's hard to say because there's such little information that's only seeping out. But I think that the interesting question on our side of it all, where we do have more information, is this question of what should we do about it? Because on one hand, the Trump administration wants to be seen as and wants to be tougher than President Obama was on Iran. And I think the same goes, by the way, for North Korea. At the same time, he doesn't want to be seen as internationalist or as interventionist in the affairs of other countries as, say, President Bush was or even President Obama was. So the question is going to be, what should we do? If we're going to support the protesters, as the president has said we should, does that look like more sanctions? Does that look like a tweet here and there? Does it look like more military intervention, which would seem to go against what he said before? And I think this just shows the difficulty of the situation and the question that Americans are having. What should be our goals in foreign policy? Should it be democracy? Should it be international peace? Should it be national security? And what does Iran have to do with that? And I think that's the question that a lot of Americans, I think, should be having as we look at the protests in Iran developing.
Those are some good, big questions worth addressing. And, Adam, we always love that you help raise them and also give us some good insight. Love talking with you. Glad to have you on the program. Thanks so much for checking in today.
Glad to be with you all, and thank you all for having me into the new year. It's a real pleasure.
Happy New Year to Adam Carrington from Hillsdale College, Assistant Professor of Politics, joining us in the Early Morning Late Show. We'll wrap it up for this Wednesday in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Early Morning Late Show. We helped you get your day start off right. Glad to have you listening anytime, of course. Great listening throughout the day. And you can listen anytime online or on the app. A free download, the Faith Radio Network app, and take us with you wherever you go. And also listen online, of course, at myfaithradio.com. And hopefully Bill will be back tomorrow. Wish him well and wish you a great day as well. We start out today talking about wisdom from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That's a good word for us in the new year ahead. Blessings to you on this Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.